Hello, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Wide World of Wargaming X-Wing segment. As always, I am your host, Vincent Morgado. Joining me, as the usual, Mr. Drew Bishop.
Hello there.
Mr. Jeff Wilder.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed.
I'm not proud until we hit 5,000 downloads. And for the second time, Dan Morris of Trinity Squad.
From my point of view, the Jedi are lying.
The memes must flow. All right. So, bit of an exciting weekend. We have finally reached peak X-Wing 2.0, I think, in Extended, where the finest and most delicious distillation of cheese has been finally rendered. Between, I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4. I count 4 either triple or quad Phantom lists, 3 Vader Fell Who Cares, and then 3 Dreya Lock lists. We officially have... We're done, guys.
It's been solved.
Yeah, I didn't...
We officially know what is good and what is not in Extended X-Wing 2.0.
I didn't know the Empire made that many TIE Phantoms. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, I you know, we try to be positive on the show, or at least give you a positive spin on what's happening out there in the competitive scene, but... there's not a lot to be spun anymore. We can only meme so hard.
Seriously, the only thing I see that I like is 20th place Echo.
Oh, you don't like eighth Sam Talley, who actually got eighth with Braylon Garvin Arvel Blount AP5.
I mean, sure. It's just another way of getting Leia in the list, right?
But it's... Wait. It's Arvel and Blount.
I know, but Arvel and Blount are decent ships. I mean, it's basically just splitting your two big hitters into two medium hitters and a little hitter.
And of course, Blount can always have those games where, especially with Arvel, he can roll completely out of his mind, which is always fun.
Yeah, I still think he's a little undercosted for what he does, but he is a very good, like, I liked him before in 1.0, but I really like him in 2.0. He's really good.
I think Sam Talley's about the only person on this chart that I look at the list and go, all right, you know, congratulations, man. Good job on bringing something original, something different. Joshua Benjamin helping prove that, yes, Republic can kind of compete in Extended with Anakin Mace Wolf.
Cody Wood
but
as
again,
well.
It's double Jedi regen. What's up?
Cody Wood as well. Anakin, Ahsoka, and a 104th with Palpatine.
Ooh, somebody brought Palpatine. I hadn't seen that. Where am I missing this one? What's his name?
Yeah, Kenny? Cody Wood. 17th overall.
Cody Wood. Ah, I must have missed that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still kind of coming out to.
Still the same
Republic
archetype.
as a two ship faction. Double Jedi insert. Who cares?
It's an Anakin plus friends. That's pretty much all that's viable, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, we are seeing what I expected, which is the arcs as opposed to two gold squadrons.
I don't know, man. I think I prefer, after playing the gold squadrons a fair amount, I think you guys underestimate the gold squadron. They do.
I don't.
Okay, because honestly, 2 evade dice with barrel roll evade is ridiculous.
For
you
blocking,
block forever.
It is.
Yeah, you block forever. You
I
take
think
no
it's just
damage.
Me, man.
They're really good. And if they're soaking up the shots, they take 10 damage away from your aces.
They're
I have no complaints about. Go ahead, Drew.
Sorry, they're beefier Z95s that have the ability to actually punch through certain things. Mm-hmm. And yeah, if you're as Dan was saying, if they're shooting at the golds, they're doing something wrong.
Well, I mean, you almost kind of have to, otherwise you're just going to keep bouncing into them because they have not, you know, it. We laugh about their dial, but it does exactly what it's supposed to do. Slow roll, turn around once in a while, and just in general piss people off.
Yep. Yarp.
I also think their dial is underrated. From playing a bunch of B-wings, I like 1.0 B-wings. That dial is pretty solid. I mean, sure, it's not the fastest thing, but it really it's fine in my opinion. Like it has no, there's no real out, like no real problems with it.
Is there any room in Republic we're not seeing for like Obi-Wan purely as support behind a whole bunch of like blue squads? Or is that just subpar?
I think it's just too expensive. Yes,
100%.
Yep.
Because I'm only thinking of trying to get blue squads with Juke.
I built blue a list squads, like that when they first came out. I mean,
say
out,
what you want about gold, but blue squads are
Ahsoka with battle meditation, and I think we had 4 points left. It was Ahsoka with battle meditation, 2 blues with Juke, and then we were running Wolf with I think we had about 12 points left in that. Oh, and Ahsoka was Delta 7. And we just couldn't figure it out. And then when we tried to, we took it up against competitive lists and it just got melted, man. Like even with Juke and like focus and like all the action economy, it couldn't ever shoot the thing it wanted to shoot. And then when it did, it didn't have what it needed to push damage through.
I ran into that little problem with the list I've been playing with for a while last night, but we'll finish Atlanta and then I'll talk about that. Jeff, I think you guys know more about Echo and the Countess than I do. Explain David Kelly's list.
I mean, honestly, it's just three really good pieces that, they're not top of the line pieces. Well, Lieutenant Sai is probably the top of the line as far as shuttles go, but Echo, Juke, Fifth Brothers, very, very solid. Riyadh is, she's not as good as she was in 1E, but she is still really good. Probably a little bit overcosted, but on the Defender chassis, who knows, honestly. It's just three really good pieces.
If your opponent doesn't know how to fly exactly against an Echo or a Riyadh,
a synergy list. Yep. That's just three great pieces that he went
for. Spiritual brother, four spots higher, Travis Johnson with literally the same ships, just different names. Omicron with Palp, Rexler with Juke, right. And Whisper with Juke. So it's
yep.
Yes.
Old school.
Yeah, I'm all of these terms that you guys throw out every once in a while, I look up on them like 1D4chan or anywhere else I can to try to learn as much as I can. And there's just too many lists.
Yeah. Well, this was Palp Aces was dominant, like, probably had like 3 or 4 peaks in 1E. It's basically just the idea of throwing
a board wide modification
aces, very strong aces out, and then Palpatine to protect them, to give them extra protection against.
Yep, it was. And it sucked. It sucked because when they were occasionally changing points on it, but every time they changed the points on it or like changed something so you couldn't run the best aces, it just literally changed to different aces and Palp with Omicron. And it was just, oh, that's big now. Oh, now that's He's big now. And it now. Just kept going.
And it had another dip when they quote unquote nerfed Palpatine and people were like, oh my God, he's not 8 times better than he should be. He's bad now, when really he was still only three times better than he should.
Vader, Soon Tyr, still popular in 2.0.
And it resurged.
Yeah. Those were like the primary aces for the longest time.
It's a tough architect to keep down.
Go ahead, Drew.
Sorry, do you think these, one of the reasons why these guys didn't place as high as they might have been able to was because they had trouble with Rebel Beef, like as far as 3 ships against 4? That can spread damage around.
I think the problem is that Whisper tends to get put out on a hook to try to suck people in, and if you screw that up, Whisper evaporates, and then you're playing 2-on-4.
Also, Wedge shoots before
Whisper does.
Whisper Wedge plus Swarm Tactics.
Swarm Tactics.
Then doesn't matter what they have. Yep.
Yeah, it's, you know, you're put it this way. No, you don't get that evade for offense because you needed to not die.
Yep.
I do want to point one thing out that's of interest, and it's kind of, you know, even the cheese is being even further, so I don't want to say melted down, but like distilled, all through aged, yes, aged to perfection. The Sigma Squad ace, the four Sigmas, the difference between the three guys who took one bare bones Sigma and the guy who added crack shot is hilarious to me. That 1 point difference was the difference between 20th place and as high as fourth.
Absolutely. We talked about that when we discussed the points change of Duke. We talked about just leaving Crackshot off and grabbing a 1 point bid.
Yeah. Yep. I
purely for the mirror match.
I that may be the difference. I would, you know, it would be interesting to see who these guys played. I do believe Joel played at least one mirror. I don't know about Josh Holt, or I cannot pronounce this other guy's last name. Make George,
them spend the evade token George defensively so they can't use it offensively. It was very similar to the triple defenders in 1.0 with the swarm leader or whatever. Spend the jukes to get more red dice, or spend the evade tokens. Yeah.
There's one interesting thing about this though for the mirror match. Yeah. You want to take first player in this, which is pretty rare.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Oh my god, that card was stupid good. But yeah, no, same concept.
Anybody else? I mean, you know, like we said, this is pure essence of cheddar here. This is high class Wisconsin Gouda. You know, it's July cannot come soon enough. Is there any list that we're not seeing that you guys consider competitive and you're not sure why it's not popping up?
The double scimitar. The double scimitar, or yeah, the Dooku Maul.
That's true. That's fair.
I don't see it. Yeah. Top 40th. Yeah, I still don't see
it. It's not here.
It's that list is I flew it for the triple 52nd
is it
place,
in there at all?
Darth Maul, Dooku with Grievous, the three ship version. Oh, I know. I brought it to a tournament for the first time this past weekend, and I yes
yeah, but still that's not the same thing.
It's a monster.
It's one of those lists.
The double
it's definitely not the double very infiltrate. Separatist at all. It does not feel like a separatist list. It just feels like a solid two large base ships for 1.0 almost. Like that's how efficient it is.
It's called the only two there are list.
I like that name.
Can you guys tell me what is number 10? How does this? We've seen this a few times. Darth Vader and 3M Dars.
Blocking.
What is
blocking
the strength of
blocking
this other than Vader? Yep.
You can use them as blockers, and you have Vader to ace anything you want.
So
I was gonna say Vader with a decent shot with the target lock can like one shot the Phantom. It's all about blocking
or make them spend their juke.
Yep, or making them spend that evade token. With Vader's first shot getting three hits, like he averages what on his attack dice with a reroll, right? He averages three hits, at least hit.
He's
hit,
very
crit.
Close to averaging three pier.
Yeah, with the force, yeah.
So that's what I imagine.
It's a little ridiculous how consistent Vader is.
Yeah.
We'll get to him.
A crit, yeah.
Well, I don't want to go over it again, but we will. Because I frankly never tire of a good fight. I mean, Atlanta System Open. What's the line? Somebody older than me, help me here. What's the line from the Who? Meet the old boss, same as the meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So we've been, you know, let us not.
I'm actually surprised at how many of the Drea mini, like the Drea 3 locks are. There's more than I thought there would
That's
be.
That's it. It is.
Mm. Yeah, also, I mean, it looked really solid. That list is just a lot.
I think people saw the really solid performance in Europe.
I do like I do like the differences between the guys who run the run the dorsals and the guys who run ion turrets. That's always a fun kind of discussion to have.
Yeah. It's really tough.
Dorsal just kills them. Just I mean, that's their whole plan, is a lot of health and just kill the target, whereas ion is like that really tiny amount of control.
Right.
Yeah, it's more of a control list, whereas the locks with the dorsal turret, you're just like, I have 8 health each and I throw 7 dice at range 1. Come at me, bro.
Yeah, I was going to say 5 dice at range 2. That's 15 dice without Drea, right? Like, whew.
It's 15 dice, 2 rerolls without... It's 15 dice, 2 rerolls, plus Drea to add another 4 dice at range 2. So 19.
Yeah, that's...
How glad are you guys that there isn't a TLT in the...
Can I raise my hand? I'm raising my hand. Like... But I feel sad, you know. I also feel like some of the other changes, like I keep thinking about Asajj Ventress, like the Lancer Craft Pursuit Carrier was so cool, was so good, and looking at it in 2.0, I'm like, man, it's the only turret I kind of wish had that third attack die, but I also feel like if it did, it would be the only one used because it would be that good, it would be that strong.
Wait, the Lancer doesn't have a third attack die?
Its turret is 2 dice, not 3. Whereas in 1.0 it used to be 3-3.
Wow, I didn't even know that.
I think the other problem with the Lancer is it's way too much hull and not enough shield.
That's what it was in 1.0.
Yeah.
Well, no, they had one more shield.
It was 3 and 7 as opposed to 2 and 8. I think the biggest problem with the Lancer, honestly, is that the best abilities on it make you... turn your turret forward.
Right.
You're basically you're playing like a large base dogfighter that can't reposition, as opposed to a turret ship, and that's going to be rough.
That's huge. Yeah.
Why does nobody run Sabine?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. They dropped her after the first points update. I still think she is stupid good.
I love that ability.
In the attack shuttle?
No, yeah. We're in the Lancer.
What? Oh, sorry. Never mind.
I adore this. Let me tell you. I don't know if you guys remember it, but I think it's fantastic. While you defend, if the attacker is in your turret arc at range 0 to 2, you may add a focus to your die results. I think that's great.
It would be great if she wasn't initiative 3 and just got arc dodged.
By everything.
I mean, it's still a large turret arc. That's a lot of room to dodge. I just played Lando for the first time, and frankly, there's no way you're getting out of that arc if I'm paying any kind of attention.
Hmm. That's true. I mean, you know what? She's 64 points. It's not terrible.
64 is a little high. I can see it at 64. That's a lot for a pilot skill 3.
Yep, and especially if you only have one. Well, you have crew to like give yourself that second focus, right?
Yeah, you could perceptive her if you wanted to, but then she's 72, which is probably why nobody does.
Oh, why do you perceptive when you could just, where is he, that stupid freaking Taika Waititi, IG-88D for 4 points. Why pay 8 for 2 focus when you can just pay 4 for 2 calculate?
Because you've got a 3 die primary.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, man. Boba Fett was huge back with IG-88D. Like, I'm telling you, man. I don't know. It the math doesn't support it, but I do feel like to calculate
3 dice, 3 red dice. You only need you only get 2 or more eyeballs 1 in 6 times.
Yeah. I do think that the double calculate might be stronger. I mean, obviously stronger than a single focus action, but like the fact that IG-88D is 4 and perceptive is what is perceptive 10 or 8 now?
It's 8.
8 now.
8, yeah. I was the first points update, I was banging my head against a wall, and then no one ran Fett anymore, so I was like, okay, well, I guess it's okay now.
Campaign against cancer.
The against cancer. Yeah, how was that?
Yeah.
I played against a threat at the campaign for the cure or whatever. The
was he heavily built out or was he pretty lean?
It was really fun. It was a really fun event, but the guy who I played Boba, he just melted me. It was like one of my only losses. So it was. It was a Fett, a Gurry, and L3 for the coordinates.
It's a built out Fett.
Yeah, they were both pretty built. Advanced sensors, Gurry. Yeah, all the fun stuff.
Outmaneuver. Was it outmaneuver Gurry?
I don't remember.
Advanced sensors, outmaneuver Gurry is about all you need.
Yeah.
That is just for flavor.
Yeah, it was very did a lot of damage. And it did Gurry have perceptive. It did have perceptive because I remember him having two focus like every turn.
I'm a huge fan of perceptive. I just think there's not a lot of ships that can justify it. I am definitely hoping that maybe that Benthic with perceptive and passive sensors is a thing once that comes down.
Yes.
Because a double modded Benthic with a target lock and still having a focus for defense seems like a really good idea.
Isn't passive sensors the one where you have to action to flip it?
Yes.
Okay, so how is he getting two focus tokens?
Coordinate AP5.
Oh, I see. We bring in another coordinate ship. Okay. All right. Awesome.
Benthic is not a coordinate ship. Benthic's
sorry, I'm getting him, I'm getting him I'm getting him confused with his with his with his goddamn brother. I apologize.
Oh, Edrio, poor Edrio T2. Yeah.
Yep.
The best ability on the worst chassis for it. Like, it's so bad. I hate how bad Edrio 2 tubes is. That honestly kills me more than any other ship. Edrio should be an action monstrosity, and he just isn't.
He should be called Edrio No Tubes.
I don't know.
Sorry, moving on. Forcing him.
Yeah, like, he might as well just be called 43 points that requires you to bring another 40.
That's the thing that gets me is it's just like there is no other combination, really. That's just it.
Yep. You either bring Benthic or you bring a part of, like, a scout.
Put the Levant.
Which sucks. I did have some fun last night trying a new list. You guys are going to laugh when I say this. Wedge, Lando, and Levon Tenza.
How was it?
I played Rick with he was running Imperial Aces, Vader Fell Whisper. I got Vader down to in the first game I played against him. I got Vader down to one health. I killed Whisper and I had fell on one health when I scooped, because Lando was just gonna get beat to death. But Juke on Levon, Lando with Hotshot and Wedge together is a lot of no. You don't get three defense die. Good luck.
You're just the teacher with the ruler, slap their hand every time they try to pick up that third die. Nope.
Well, yeah, I mean, between Wedge shooting at you with Whisper and using swarm tactics to bring Lando up to six that Whisper never gets her juke off, and then you juke Whisper with Levon, it's hilarious.
So are you giving Levon offensive mod with Lando?
Yes. Or no, normally okay, what I gotcha. Do is have her focus her. What I have her do is focus herself, and then Lando gives her a barrel roll at initiative at a pilot skill 5.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So she can, you know, kind of counter the higher initiative ships, or at least have a chance. Otherwise, she just gets arc dodged into oblivion. I thought it worked pretty well for me having no idea how to fly.
Well, a Falcon. I mean, there's definitely skill to it, but as you discovered, it's not like super high skill level required, even with the bow tie arc as opposed to the 360.
Yeah, okay. I know. I'm like, what am I missing here? I mean, that's probably the thing I'm going to work on for the next couple of weeks is that list, which I really enjoy.
No.
What are you guys working on? Any cool coming out of the labs, Dr. Frankenstein's?
So
I know, Drew, I know you've resigned from X-Wing until the next points shuffle.
No, I'm a competitive scrub. I've got five, I guess technically six lists in my little case that I bring with me now. It's Poe and the three A-Wings. It's Poe, Nian, and Lulo. Then there's three. There's the three Academy and Soontir Vader. There's Soontir Vader Whisper. Then there's Soontir Vader Major Vermeil. Then there's Anakin, Ahsoka, and the Ark. There's Anakin, Ahsoka, and the Double Golds. And then like Cheddar or what Swiss? Is it? I think that's all I've got with me. But that's. I mean, I'll play it. I'll pull it out, and I'll basically like come up to someone and be like, "Which cheese would you like to play?" You know, exactly. Like which what
Cheddar cheese, Monterey Jack, or blue?
Which style of Initiative 6 pilot do you want to face today? Is essentially what I tell them, or ask.
Let's actually, you know what? That's Drew. Thank you for putting it in that context. Do you guys remember when you used to see like a lot of low PS rebel lists real early on in the edition? Like you would see some guys mixing up double, you know, two blue squadron X-Wings and two blue squadron B-Wings and then a U-Wing. Like this was only what, 2-3 months ago? Yeah, that's all gone.
It evolves. It always does. Until they really get the knit valued at where it's actually worth. That it's going to happen. People are going to come up with the archetype, and it is slowly going to creep up an initiative, whether with native initiative or with swarm tactics, until they price initiative.
And Jeff, I hate to say it. No, I don't hate to say it because you know what? You're a man of experience. You're right, man. I6 is too cheap.
Yep.
And I say that as the world's most devoted Wedge fanboy. I'd pay another 4 points on Wedge if I knew every other six was going up.
And the thing about it is, Wedge is one of the least bad offenders because he's not a repositioner.
I think so. I mean,
And that's, you know, it's I sort of feel for FFG because it is tough. There are so many factors that go into whether this Initiative 6 is undercosted and this Initiative 6 isn't. Like, Soontir Fel is not badly undercosted. Maybe 2 points. We talked about this before. But it's not. It is nothing bad. But there are Initiative 6s that are badly undercosted. Whether built out or native. You know, it's just they're just badly undercosted. But, I mean... Poe's not doing a whole lot now, right? But I think that's more because of Rebel beef than anything else.
Well, I haven't really faced against much resistance lately, but Drew, maybe you can help. How much bid do you have on a normal Poe list?
I mean, you change the bid, really? Like, the list that I run has like a, oh my god, it's like a, if I put points into it, it's... What is it, a 13 or 15 point bid with the three A-Wings and Poe? But that's a different kind of Poe than, like, you know, it doesn't have BB-8 or anything like that.
To be honest, I don't think A-Wings are going up except those that are named Lulo.
Yeah, okay, let's assume that the A-Wings do go up. Lulo. So if they reprice Vader but they put the A-Wings back up, have we really changed the equation at all?
Lulo is built with her own. Lulo's 38. I think people would probably play Lulo at a base of 42 or 43.
See, yeah, that's where I'm at with that. I don't really know how much further up the A-Wings can go.
You get more and you're getting to the point of X-Wing territory, right? You
know? Right.
Yeah, but you're not at PS5 X-Wing territory.
Yeah, that's still I think Lulo might need to be more.
Yeah. Well, I said 42 or 43, so what did
you? You're already in at 42, you are in X-Wing territory.
I fucking know.
I mean, that's true. If you went Lulo heroic trick shot and your Jeff your build, you'd be at 47, which is 1 point less than Thane. So that sounds about right. Right, and then if you put on it the generic Lulo upgrades, which are heroic and trick shot, you're at 47.
46. But yeah. Okay. I think that the main thing holding resistance back right now is just that beef and Imperial Aces and Phantoms are so strong. They're just so strong.
Veteran turret gunner is going to go up, you think? I think 8 probably was the magic number, and to try to get it into the game, they dropped it down, but it just was too much. I didn't believe that for a long time, mostly because, how fast 5Ys dropped off the face of the earth. But when you kind of look at it more in an evolutionary way and not a math way, it makes sense that 5Ys vanished, or even 4 with selfies. Which is, that's an interesting, that's always kind of the interesting way that we, should we say, measure lists, is like you never want to look at it just from a math point of view, because there's so much math going on. You almost look at it more as, well, this coming down made this legal and this list just absolutely rocks this list, so that's why that's gone. But then this other list, you could drive yourself to madness doing this.
Yeah, and there, there's a lot to math wing that is valid. But there's so much that is it's if you tried to make a function of points values in all of X-Wing, it would fill a stadium of chalkboards. I mean, it's just there's so much that you have to cover that it's just I don't hold it against FFG that it's almost more of a feel thing than it is a math thing.
Dan, what are you working on lately? Anything interesting? Anything you think might have legs?
The summit. Unfortunately, no. Not. I mean, I'm worried that points change. The most effective separatist list is going to be not in the same way as it is now. The double scimitar.
So you're flying an 8 swarm?
Kind of frustrated with the fact that the Republic, really the only viable thing to play is Anakin with stuff. And I've never been that much of an ace player. 1.0, I played a lot of mid PS or swarmy lists. Yeah. So that's either I have to force myself to learn Anakin or just sort of play something that I hope I can surprise my opponents with long enough to get games from them. But right now I'm kind of trying to force the vultures. I'm basically putting as many vultures as I can on the table. I have flown the 8 swarm, and I think that might actually be my favorite currently.
Yep.
Even over the wat with Kraken. I just really like that. The 8, the Ocho.
The Ocho. What did we call it, Jeff? The G8? I think we called it the group, the Gang of 8. Jeff, what about you? What do you got?
Well, do you guys remember when I was experimenting with Vinny and an X-Wing and an A-Wing?
Many moons ago.
Yeah, that was back. I was actually looking at my list.
Whoa, and, really?
That's really Yasby, cool. Did you guys know that Yasby actually tells you when the squad was saved? Save that squad? I didn't even know that. I saved my first iteration of the squad. Now, this wasn't necessarily the first time I saved it, but this is the first iteration way back on April 1st. And I think that list has some legs to it. I haven't. I'm going to try to take it to Anime Imports tomorrow and see what happens. It just depends on whether I have time to build it up. But I think that's got some legs to it. I like the Vinny Lulo Nian version that was that first iteration that I had, although I've tried a couple of other iterations.
You didn't like one of the other ones pretty, that people have played around with? I think it's Vinny, Tally, Jessica.
Yeah, I think that Jess is a weird choice just because Jess wants to be with more than two other ships, and she certainly doesn't want to be that close to a ship that's dropping bombs. I've only played this one, you know, and I enjoyed playing it, but I haven't actually put the others on the table yet, so I can't really say for sure. But I do like that I've got Lulo at 40 and Nian at 66, and then Vinny comes in at 94. A healthy
that's a sick boy.
He does have 13 hit points for what it's worth, and he's got the extra defense, so he should be pretty tough to kill. That's the only thing that's at all innovative that I've been playing with. Everything else is sort of evolutionary, you know, rather than trying to figure out the best 5-5-5-5 list as opposed to anything else.
Why do you guys think Resistance 5s fell off so hard?
We talked about this before. It just can't deal with the Rebel. Yeah, it can't deal with the Rebel Beef. It's got the same problem that the Hatchet Man has against Leia lists. The
2 X-Wings, Lulo, and Tally can't hand. You don't think can square up with Wedge 10, Braylon, Cassian? No,
because again, the thing is, those types of lists really like to run away, right? They come in quick, they do some damage, and they run away. The problem is with Leia, they don't. They can instantly turn around and chase you. Now, obviously, you know, their K turns and Talon rolls aside, but you know, now all of a sudden, you know, they're behind you, right? And you've got to come back around. I don't know. I mean, maybe they can, but I just feel like in a tournament where two people who know what they're doing, the A-Wings and Poe are going to not walk out of that fight.
It's going to be 60-40, and if you are between two very skilled players.
Let me put it this
way.
And
if you are a very skilled player, you do not want to be on the 40 side of the 60-40.
Which I think is, you know, your prerogative. But when it comes to the Resistance 5s, they don't particularly care. Elo Asti turns – his best turnaround is white anyway. And then Nia Num is going to turn around after everybody else has moved. And it's Nia Num, so he doesn't care. Like, he sheds
but
the stress anyway.
But all of them care about being shot at by multiple ships. They don't want to have that happen.
But they have Heroic and they can take
Heroic. What do you mean? Wait a minute. Heroic doesn't mean that they can just take it. That makes no sense.
They have more. They have just. It absolutely makes sense. We've all seen people go on ridiculous heroic runs.
No, that's true. That if they get lucky, they can take it. But again, you do not want to be shot. If you are Nian or Elo,
you don't want to get shot
by Rebel Beef.
That's the only one.
Well, it's Wedge and Friend, right?
Right, but your whole team shoots at five, and Wedge almost never has Swarm in competitive Beef lists. So you're taking a shot from Wedge, but then you're getting, you know what, between 3-6, you know, 10 or more dice back before the Rebel player gets to shoot back.
And here's the other thing.
You're getting single modified dice, and typically they're getting better than that.
I can see what you're saying about the double mods, but the B-Wings burn down so quick it doesn't matter.
But the...
Okay.
I mean, I'm not saying that it is unbeatable. I think it's 60-40 between equally skilled players. It's just, trust me, as a poker player, if you go into a lot of showdowns at 60-40 and you're on the 40 side,
as a fellow poker enthusiast, Jeff, believe me, I've been on the other end of that too.
60-40 is a big...
Not a professional like yourself, but I just play charity events and things like that.
Yeah, it's I think that's why it fell off hard. People just don't want that uphill climb, and especially people that play 5-5-5-5 do typically consider themselves sort of.
So you
more
think
ace
it's more
players.
That they just moved on to something they feel is
I
better.
I think it's the dice. And it's the dice too. You know, you look at the Rebel Beef, and they are rolling either one or two greens. Well,
75% of your list is rolling two attack dice at them, right? If it's tally.
Has Drew been replaced with Watt?
Yeah, I'm hearing it too.
Oh no, am I messing up or something?
Yeah. There we go.
It ironed out.
You were slowing down.
No,
real.
I was earlier. Yes. But no, I feel like it's the dice, right? Like you're rolling a lot of the A-wings are rolling two attack dice, and a lot of the rebels are either rolling one or two evade dice, and like you cannot trade one or two damage a turn for taking one or two damage back, especially on A-wings. Exactly.
And especially if the rebels are
not
swapping
really
around,
there's,
which
no, if
they
you
will
look
either
at,
be
if
swarm
you just
tactics
look at,
or
you know,
they'll
Atlanta
be swapping
and Denver,
around, generally speaking.
Selfless and Swarmer gone. It's crack shots and jamming beams.
Because they know people are afraid. People have become smart enough to know that they can't engage them like that, or they can't jump on one of them, right? Like the list has the tools to make sure that you can't sit there and snipe one of them before they get a chance to shoot.
Well, resistance fives are the only list you could.
But they're not there. No one plays them. So
like,
people don't play them.
That's the only list that could. Well, right. I mean, that's true. That's the question I'm asking. Is this more about perception?
I think.
No. Go ahead.
Go for it, Drew.
I want to hear your.
Okay. I was thinking Vader Soontir Whisper just kind of beats the fives, right? Like you have a bid and you just ace an A-wing a turn easily and then you arc dodge. Like I think it's not the Rebel Beef that's countering it. I think it's the double sixes.
Should there be a limit to the number of sixes you could bring in a list?
I think.
Would that be? Well, we had a nice long discussion last time about how we would evolve the meta in hyperspace. I think this probably this presents a little bit of an artful solution to the problem. You get one I-6. Like making
only
a real
one
squadron.
List has the ability to take multiple sixes. Not counting swarm tactics.
That's not true at
it's
all.
It's certainly a possibility.
Well, there's like rebels that can go wedge.
Oh, that, no, that, yeah. Sorry, Duncan's
yeah,
list
can
was
go
3 deep. That's right.
Yeah.
Rebels could go 6-6-5 just as easy as Empire. Like, imagine, like we people have trouble with some of the stuff now. Imagine if you ran into Wedge,
Duncan's
Han,
list?
Nora.
But Wedge
his was.
But Wedge had swarm
his
tactics.
This was Wedge, Nora, Jake, or a Han, Nora, Jake.
Yeah. So 3 sixes. Yeah.
Right. So it was 3 sixes.
Sure. But it's also it's demi 3 6. It's demi 3 sixes. Because it's still one of them is moving at 4, and a lot of this is arc dodging. A lot of what makes 6 so valuable is the ability to get out of the way. I'm sure we all agree. Does it hurt Republic that they don't have a way to swarm to pass I-6 from Anakin? Or from anyone else for that matter?
I think what hurts Republic is not the fact that... I mean, Anakin, I think, is the best part of Republic right now, because he is the I-6, and he can fight Vader pretty much toe-to-toe. Their problem is that...
Right. But I mean, but obviously it hurts them that they can't compete at any other initiative.
That's true. Really. Yeah. And that's the problem is that everything else below Anakin is either overcosted or just, I mean, it's just not good enough right now.
There is another wrinkle too. Like it would be tough to convince me that something like, that something like 4 arcs couldn't be competitive in an untimed game. The one of the reasons that Anakin and Vader and Soontir are so very strong at I-6 is that the games are timed to 75 minutes, where you can get a points lead and then, I'm not necessarily saying run away, but I am saying be very, very,
very,
very judicious in how you engage.
Yeah.
Very cagey. And that's a function of it being a timed game. And unfortunately, there's not a way around that. They just have so to. They have to price about this initiative. And
correct me if I'm wrong.
Based on the 75 minute tournament the issue, game,
so we had this, sort of the same problem with some of the lists, like regen lists in 1.0. I was wondering if maybe this sort of hyper cagey meta that we have with the ace play, at least, is that from half points on small ships? Because now you don't have to be like in 1.0, you still had to kill a ship. Right. Yes. So you had to be more aggressive. And now it's just like, oh, I did, you know, 3 damage to Vader. Now I win. Right. That's
absolutely
that's funky. That feels bad to me.
Guess what has two thumbs and fully predicted that and was against half points and small ships for partially that exact reason. The other thing is that you can lose half points on an ace and you can lose half your hit points and lose half points on an unbelievably unlikely die roll and lose a game because of it. That feels bad, man. Mm-hmm. That shouldn't happen.
And wasn't the idea behind half on small ships a way to bring large back into the meta?
I think it was more of a way to try to make it so people didn't be very defense. I don't know. I have no idea why they did it.
Uniform.
I mean, they did it because everybody was clamoring for it because people don't think in the long term. It was honestly the main driver of it was it isn't fair that large ships are half points and small ships aren't. Small ships can be just as big point lockers as large ships can, and therefore you should get half points for them. And there's some merit to that, but doing it based on base size is just really dumb. The fact is, large ships shouldn't be half points. Large ships should simply be...
Well, we have to go back to when they became half points. Costed, that was back when costed 1.0 and balanced Fat Han was a thing.
To their strengths and weaknesses.
That was the only way to beat it. And so... There was also the regen factor and the C-3PO factor, and the I just wouldn't take zero damage forever if you're shooting me with one ship. So I think that if they somehow had removed that ability from 2.0, then they wouldn't need to have half points on large, right? Or on any. I agree, but it's
or any
with
You know, I don't want to be completely down about it because I do have to say that it makes for closer, exciting games that more often come down to the final turn of a game. And I do think that's a positive. I just wish they'd gotten to that positive.
My problem is it doesn't feel good when you're like, I won this game because on the last shot, I got one more hole on the ship that I didn't even blow up. Like, I could win the game by not killing any of your stuff, and that doesn't feel good to me.
I agree completely.
It all comes down to that ace play. You look at some of the most top matches near the end of 1.0 and a lot of these top 2.0 games, and it literally comes down to, aces do like a little sprinkle of damage, right? Like that's a good friend of mine made very well at the hyperspace with Anakin, Ahsoka, and I think it was Wolf. And it was just that. It was like, you know, in 2 or 3 games, they got Anakin down to half. Anakin ran away and healed. And then the game ended. And because they didn't have half on Anakin, and Anakin, they had damage on his opponent, like, he won. And it's just one of those things where it's like, how do you change that? How do you points a ship like that out, right? To, like, make that not happen. But at the same time, I feel like the rules of the game, that's the thing, right? That. Like... I don't think there's any way to stop it. Yeah.
I mean, you might as well at that point raise the price of the R2s, right? Is anybody else taking them?
So one of the things that I wanted to talk, I hate to cut you off, Jeff, but you know we've dilly dallied for too long. One of the things that they've done, you know, started doing to you know price appropriately for I6. Is the initiative costed upgrades. would initiative pricing on the R2s?
Yeah, I don't think that initiative. I think you could reprice them.
No, and, not that I've seen.
Maybe, but I don't think they need.
Oh, we've seen a few on Wedge and Luke, I think.
Oh, I don't.
But like one or two.
Yeah. It's never bad on Luke.
Yeah.
Right. It is a weird situation.
See, then you run into the problem where then the ship eight carrying eight it is now a bigger point sink. Like now my Anakin is locking up four additional points. Yeah. And it's
that's true, but I mean, if you're a two ship list, let's just say you keep running into just two Jedi and Wolf, you are reducing the bids. And I think a lot, that's one of the ways that you can get around the I-6 problem is just make it, if you want to play I-6.
The simplest thing you could do if this is what you're worried about is they've already got threshold. Just say once you hit the threshold, you collect the points and period. You've got the points. They do not track.
I think that would be excellent. I think that's a rule change that should be implemented as quickly as possible.
I think even more, it's just the fact that it is incentivized by the rules, right? Incentivized playing KG. I think that if Anakin, the two small ship list point purchasing, if they had to kill a ship before they got points, then they have to play aggressive. And then they also have to, that puts them in at a risk of dying.
Yeah.
Right. I think it's just, there's no reason to play risky anymore.
And I think that's, I don't know if this is the way it was in 1.0, but there was a game at Atlanta that went down literally to the half hour mark out of 90 minutes without ever a shot being fired.
Yeah. But there's no way to stop people.
The table. That should never happen. There's no way to stop people from doing that. That's not maneuvering at that. Well, there is. I think Dan's suggestion probably
right in order to get
you eliminate your final salvo from ever being
in order question. To get your points, you have to kill something. To right,
that's not a way to
solve right. It's like you could get half points on a ship, but if the game goes to time, you don't get those half points unless you kill something. Right. Okay. What so if, like you get no points on the table till you remove one.
Right.
Yes.
What other miniature games has a rule similar to half points? Like, anything I've seen, it's you take stuff off the table to win, right? Or am I? I mean, I'm not the most versed in
this.
So
there's always it's an older idea. It was called victory points, essentially. You could destroy if a unit was below half strength, you got X number of points for it. But it was only ever in like really large scale games, never anything at like the four, the 2-8 model limit. Because I know Malifaux doesn't have anything like that. I'm pretty sure
Infinity Legion and Imperial Assault goes down to damage if you tie on victory points. Like how much damage have you done to your opponent, right? Like how many models have you removed? And if the models removed are the same, it literally comes down to how much damage is on the board. If you have done more damage on the board than your opponent, then you win. But I don't know how that, it could translate into X-Wing, but I don't know.
It's a kind of similar way that we have it, right? If neither of you have destroyed a ship, who's gotten more half points? It's similar, but doesn't mean I like it.
Of course, I guess kind of the problem, Dan, is that if you went that way, what'll happen is you'll have somebody, everybody will start including one cheapie.
Well, no, you have to kill the ship, right? You have to
die to make sure they can score points. Kill an opponent
ship to get any points.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just...
Okay. Like, I mean, yeah, that's going to turn into point lockering a lot of stuff real quick, I guess would be the worry.
Right, or if the point lockering ship has to be aggressive and put themselves at risk. I know I'm repeating myself, but I really think that the game is currently it's not designed to play aggressive.
Right.
And it feels bad for, it's kind of like in Magic. I know it's totally unrelated. If you got a mirror match of control players, right, where neither of them want to do anything and they just want to get, more resources until the end of the game. It feels a lot like that, and that is not a fun experience.
And not to casualize this too much, but the reason that that's so harmful is that it creates a situation in which the player that wants to play the game and fire his lasers at the other player is the worst player.
We're seeing that actually
how they will perform in the game. And that,
I was going to say with the Quad Phantoms, that's what they do. They just kind of go back and forth on their side of the board and wait for you to come to them. Absolutely. And if that rule was implemented, right? Because that's the one thing too, you know, a lot of people say that the Phantoms, the Quad Phantoms don't want to go out and like go after stuff because that's how they lose, because you are engaging on their terms, not your own. It would eliminate lists like that. I mean, I don't think the Quad Phantoms would disappear, but people would definitely have to play it differently.
I'm going to throw, at the risk of starting another epic argument, I'm going to throw out a really weird idea and just see what you guys think. What if...
Everyone to the bunker.
What if placement of ships on the board was random?
I'm not sure how you would do it, but I mean, I'm sure there's ways to do it, right? Obviously, but yeah.
That would be really weird.
There are ways to kludge it. It would be a huge kludge. I'm just curious. I was thinking about the Quad Phantoms because you were talking about them and how they do the crab walk and they don't want to engage. And the play, there's this, I'm sure you guys have seen it. There's this very low level contempt disguised as good humor about players who want to come and fight.
Right. Yeah, and it's called the people who say whoever engages first loses.
And that's how you can tell every time. I just think it would be interesting if there were some way to randomize. It wouldn't be like your guy can be right behind my guy. You can start off the game tailing me. But like on your side of the board, you randomize where your ships are placed, and they randomize where their ships are placed. And then you have to, you know, recover from it, or you have to fly. You might have to engage earlier than you want to, and so forth.
I think probably if you just detached you would help solve that problem. No, I think if you just always alternated ships until one guy ran out, then the other guy drops everything. Because then you'd have what happens in some of the larger scale games where guys bring disposable units just to exhaust their opponent's deployments. Works in
Armada, I didn't even think about that.
40K, works in Sigmar. I mean, it even works in Flames of War.
To deploy, right?
Of course, I mean, right, of course. But
it just seems like that would just encourage people to be as cagey as possible at startup.
But it would also include,
or a disadvantage if like HAL runners away from the swarm,
a deployment advantage. Well, you're not randomizing the deployment. You still have control.
I see.
But you're just throwing out different pieces to try to take as long as possible to put HAL runner on the board.
Everybody knows where HAL runner's going down. Yeah.
Oh, right. That's the problem with formation flying. But if you're not going to fly as a squadron, you're allowed to, it would kind of encourage element flying instead of just brick flying. Like I said, you're throwing out weird ideas, and I like to think that every once in a while my brain works. I can't guarantee that, but, we all have our moments. Without going into we did a lot of talking about points tonight. And I don't want to, we'll take a couple more minutes to do this. But if you had to pick, and I'm going to set ground rules to this, when it comes to July, what are the two that everybody wants to see fixed? No repeats, no Phantom.
Damn it, I was about to scream Leia.
We'll start with Dan and work our way down. Yeah, I know you were. That's why I banned it, because I know you.
I think that most of my experience is with Separatists and Republic, and I think that the card hate is undercosted for specifically Darth Maul and Dooku by a lot. I'm talking, you know, 6-8 points. Nerf Vader. I can see it going up. I can see it going up to 10 points easily.
I mean, it would
still be good.
It would actually make sense to price hate by hit points of a ship, wouldn't it?
Right. It's just that card is unbelievably strong. It's specifically on Darth Maul and on Dooku.
On the internet.
But it's not too terribly strong on ships like Kylo. Right? So would they price it? It would be priced it wouldn't be priced on initiative, would it? It could be priced on base size, maybe? I don't know. Because hate is way better on this point. Yep.
Hell hit points.
Price it by force. Price it by the number of force that
then
the,
it would be then the I don't has. So I don't think hate is that I mean it's fine yeah. on Vader but I don't on Darth Vader but I don't think it's nearly like if Darth Maul has three force okay. and Vader has three force I don't want hate to be the same yeah. price for both of them right I want hate to be more expensive for ships that want to take the damage. Vader doesn't want to take damage. Kylo doesn't want to take damage. Darth Maul and Dooku, they want
generally
to take damage.
Speaking on Darth Maul Dooku at 10 or 11 hit points, you are going to get twice as much benefit from hate.
That is true. And I have experienced that. That was it's very, very good, and I think it's very undercosted for those two ships specifically.
Two is 100% not enough. I agree on that. I think 7 might be about right
since they're already doing stuff like shields are based on agility. Sure. Then there's I'm sure like either base size, health, whatever it is, there's a way to do it so that it will still be good on fine on Vader, but also acceptable on Dooku or Maul.
I think if you were to just by pricing it higher for those two, you would nerf it on Vader just like as a side benefit.
But I don't think it needs a nerf on Vader. I think it's fine.
Well, hold on. No, let's move on. Dan's got hate, which I do think is great.
Yeah, what's your second pick?
I have a second pick?
Sure. I gave everybody two picks.
Oh, probably Anakin for Republic. Only because...
Up or down?
He's probably too cheap. And that's only because he is like the one viable thing. I think everything is overcosted in Republic except for him. And like the PS,
you think the arcs are overpriced?
I think the initiative one, everything the twos else. Are not. I think that the Wolf is also, I think might be undercosted, but everything else is overcosted. Besides lowest initiative, yeah, the Lotus Initiative and Anakin. So I think Anakin could go up.
Okay. Jeff,
now, did you say price modifications or did you just talk about increases?
Any modification, no Leia, no... who's the other one I said?
Vader. I think that...
Sigma.
I would love to see, Dan's going to laugh at me, but I would love to see Brobots either come down a little bit more or get some way to get some action economy. They have taken such a huge hit in 2E, going to a medium base, not getting any faster or better of a dial. Losing action economy, losing powerful, some of the powerful abilities.
Losing good cannons.
Exactly. Losing the evade, the way that evade works, losing that change. They've just taken too many small hits to be viable even at their currently reduced cost. I mean... There are always outliers, people that are going to do fairly well with them, but they're outliers, let's be honest. I would like to see those come down or get some action economy through cards. I'm fine either way. I just like them to be playable. I I've always enjoyed robots, and I'd like to be able to fly them again. I don't feel like I can in Scum.
Well, if you want to play robots, just B-side? Play the double infiltrators. That's pretty much exactly
that's
what it is.
That's the only thing I've been tempted by. I was telling them last week, it's the only thing I've been tempted by in Separatists is the double infiltrators. And I think, how do you, you mentioned you thought they'd get hit in the price change. How do you think they'll get hit? Yeah.
The infiltrators? I think Maul and Dooku being, you know, the most prevalent list in First Separatist, with the exception of maybe the Ocho, I think they're probably going to go up just because they're seeing so much
blood. Just a reaction, like try to calm them down.
I think that you look at them, right? And they are the same problem that the Republic has, where it's like, it's about the clones, right? And backed up by a few aces or one ace, but then all you see are the aces. And then Separatists now have the same problem where it's like, it's a bunch of droids backed up with like, oh, it's Darth Maul. But now it's like, oh yeah, no, we just throw the droids out and we'll take, you know, only two there are. And then you have the same problem, but the opposite end of the spectrum. Yeah.
For my second pick, I'm going to cheat a little bit and say that I would like to see the low to mid BS X-Wings, both types, come down in price. I like them to.
Someone who agrees with
I'd
me.
Like them to come down to a place where they can be played without feeling like you're just an idiot.
Yeah.
I don't. I've only got one Black Squadron card, so although I could do it at an MMA boards, I couldn't do it at in a tournament. But I think it'd be fun to play four Black Squadrons for sure.
I see.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's absolutely. Kari's
like
got that
see,
incredibly fun
Kari
ability.
At all
and
playable.
Just basically, you just can't play it in a if you're being seriously competitive. You know, Tui is better. You can play this. You can put it on the table, and you're not going to feel like you're completely overwhelmed unless you're across from Quad Phantoms. But you're also not going to feel like you're making a good choice. You know.
Drew, what do you got? I repeat, no Leia.
Oh, you're good. No, the first thing that, and actually I was talking to my good friend Connor about this today, actually. I really think that the Gold Squadron, the V-19 Torrents, they need another missile slot. Like, you know, one of the cards even has them, like, yeah, just having, letting them have Barrage, I think, wouldn't push them into super ridiculous territory. Maybe I do really agree with Dan that like Anakin is undercosted, but pretty much everything else in that faction is too expensive. But I do feel like at the moment, you know, they need a few more tricks. Why not give the Torrents an extra missile slot?
You know,
that was the first.
Don't we see them actually firing a crap ton of barrage rockets in Rebels?
I think there's no way to tell what they were, but if I had to guess, I'd say concussion or cluster missiles.
Okay, yeah, that's true. I'm sure.
Cluster missiles.
Yeah, you're right.
But either way, so that was my first one, and then the second one, and I know that I might get some flack for this too, but just kind of padding around just to make sure that this list doesn't become a problem in the future, I'd like to see K-Wings go up. Like, just the generic ones, maybe? Just a point or two? Because 4 is not too terribly hard to deal with, but, I mean, with looking at what new bombs are coming out and what new bombs and missiles might be coming out in the future, I really do feel like that is a sleeper list that could become a problem down the line.
Okay. Not very often you hear somebody say that Quad K-Wings is going to be a problem in the future, but that's why we have you, Drew. I'll go, you know, I saved possibly the worst for last, but, you know, that's why I don't try not to talk as much. Jeff stole mine because I'm never going to stop beating the drum for reducing the price of the mid-level X-Wings. I want Tenum and Braylon to go up by 2 points each, and because that needs to stop. That list is – and I want the rule – I want a rule to change where that if you fail a stressful action – or I want them to reverse the focus roll on the card.
Roll, then focus?
Yep. because I think it's too easy. I don't think you should be able to proc their ability for basically no for no cost.
Well, actually,
because that's what it is.
It's right not now. A cost. It's actually a benefit.
Exactly. It's double bonus on them.
Well, let's talk about this because I don't disagree with you. They clearly, I'm constantly surprised by how well they thought out linked actions. The things that you can't do with ships that you're like, oh God, I wish I could do this, but the linked actions are in the wrong order.
Attached to a chassis that makes it almost useless, right. AKA E-wings boosting into range one and then target locking.
Exactly. So let's talk about why we think that they did with Braylon and Ten being so obviously beneficiaries of stress. Why did they do it the way they did it?
Because they knew that the B-Wing's dial is terrible.
But I mean,
it's they did it that way because there's more than just Braylon and Ten, right? I think it's totally fine it on is. The other two B-Wings. But on Braylon and Ten is you can abuse it. So I just don't I just don't know. Maybe they didn't play test it enough. Maybe someone missed it. I don't know. But
it definitely got play tested the way it is. Let's not be stupid about this. But I don't think what they realized is that even with only one, I think they underestimated how good double mods would be on their on offense for them, especially Braylon. I think somehow they didn't do the math on that and realize how hard it is to put down a guy with 8 hull who's going to be re-rolling offense and defense and modding and possibly modding his offense with the focus if you focus roll.
With the ability to soak damage from someone else if they're not shooting
him? That's any LAR. That's half the ships in Rebels can do that. I don't think it's special
to Braylon. I know.
I think you just hate selfless. No.
I just think I'm just trying to figure out why they didn't do roll then focus. Because they really did take care with this, and I can't think that not doesn't hurt blades or blues, right? Roll then focus. So it's almost like they did it. It's almost like they did it on purpose in favor of Braylon and Ten, and then just failed to price.
What would be
properly.
Really scary is if they did it the way they did, so that you could do a roll focus at low initiative with them, and then take a blue maneuver and target lock.
Yeah, make the roll focus how?
Just like with Sabine used
coordinate
to be.
Or whatever. Okay,
that's another reason I'm terrified of passive sensors on them. That's a really good way. They are going to be great advanced proton carriers with passive sensors. Because they love range one knife fights. Especially Braylon with standing 2 rerolls on top of a 5 die shot or 10 numb, who's going to have spend his stress as focus on top of spending his target lock. This is going to hurt.
Okay, what if the reason why they was simply because I don't actually have the card in front of me. I'm just looking at it on Yasby, but they wanted to put focus and not like they wanted to put focus, but save space. So they put focus link barrel roll so that you can always focus or you could focus link barrel roll rather than having a barrel roll and a barrel or, you know, a barrel link. Well, I guess it's the same argument.
Don't they only have 2 other actions, though? Don't they only have target lock, focus, roll? And isn't that the only 3 they have?
Barrel focus roll, yeah. So yeah, never mind. It would be the same. It would be they would just have the 1 barrel roll action, and then they'd have the additional focus action. So it would be the same. Never
mind. I think they just did it
for the there's guys with 5 actions on their
but
card.
Even that doesn't make sense. It has to be for the benefit of Braylon and Ten.
What if it was they made it that way?
Yeah.
Not thinking that people would abuse it.
Well, did you just call FFG stupid, Dan?
I'm saying, you know what? They were saying, you know what? I think people are going to respect 2.0 and not try to abuse stupid loopholes.
Let's not forget that they maybe priced it correctly the first time.
I think, that's why I said bump them back up.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say is do you think that FFG originally thought that you weren't going to be able to fit two in a list?
Oh, no.
That was, like, actually really, really good?
No.
Because you could fit them in before, but if they were expensive enough, it was like, whoa, okay. That's not all you're running, but it is almost, right, those are your aces, right? Like, this is your bread and butter.
Well, the difference between, let's be clear, I mean, the difference between 47 and 50 is significant, but not this significant. It's the fact that they can they're double procking their abilities.
Yeah.
Off of the focus roll. Yeah. That's the problem.
That's a solid call. I agree. But right. The other two don't need to go up, right? The B and
the blades and the blues? Yeah. No.
Just Braylon and real honestly, just Braylon. 10 ability, he can just be screwed if he doesn't roll the eyeballs.
What if that's true. If you fail a linked action, you don't get stressed?
I've always wondered. I've always wondered why that is.
There was something you were explaining it. There were some examples they gave where it was really abusive if you didn't get stressed. I can't remember what it was, but they gave some examples of it.
Oh, okay.
Was it a good example? No, it was super niche.
It was composure, right? It was composure fell, wasn't it?
Yeah, that might have been one of them when composure came out. Yeah.
Yeah. Just abusing it for the fact that, like, oh, I know I can't take an action here that I like or whatever, so I'm just going to, oops, I failed it, and then you get the stress or you get the token or whatever.
You mean like composure?
Lulo does it all the time.
You mean composure snap?
Well, I mean, I don't see how that would be useful. Okay, I fail my action, but I already have a green token, so I don't get a focus. Are you saying, like, oh, I get the boost, and then I fail my barrel roll, so I get a focus? I can't make my barrel roll, so I get a focus? Like, I guess that means you're not stressed.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what the examples were that they gave. Sorry, I wish I could, but I can't. But they definitely addressed it. And keep in mind that the rules are significantly better, but they are certainly not airtight. I mean, look at failing a decloak. You can fail a decloak on purpose and stay cloaked. There's no way you can tell me that's intentional. There is no way.
I think the cloak action is just a disaster, and they don't know what to do with it.
So,
I think cloak should just be a token. You shouldn't get a reposition off it. It's already two evade dice. Get out of here with the additional bonus, the additional roll or reposition. Fuck out of here.
The super barrel roll or the super boost.
Yeah.
So I don't mind the reposition. I think they did the reposition just to make it, just to enhance the quantum nature of cloak. You know, the uncertainty of cloak. But I wish that cloak had been. You could stay cloaked and trade your offense for defense. As opposed to the way it is, where it's like the way cloak is right now. It basically is just a super it's a pre-movement barrel roll. Just a super pre-movement barrel roll.
Supernatural reflexes.
You should just, if you want to fix it, just make it, you're not allowed to recloak after you take your first hit. As soon as you take a shield hit, you can't recloak. Done. And I think that's a good note to end on. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining me. Dan, thank you so much for coming back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Drew, Jeff, let's go ahead and sign off.
Have a good week.
Bye now. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Thank you, folks. Please do check the Facebook page for the polls we are going to start posting, and one of you may be lucky enough to be invited to join us on the show. Have a good night, and we'll talk to you next week.
Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all-the-time thing. You don't win once in a while, and you don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit.